And I spoke to the immigration minister before he left for Cambodia. Scott Morrison, what's the nature of this deal with Cambodia?
This is about a regional solution. This is about providing genuine resettlement in a third country, which is Cambodia, a signatory to the Refugee Convention. It enables us to fulfil on the policy which says no one will be resettled in Australia. It applies to those who are currently having processing on Nauru. Over 200 people have been identified as refugees now. And it provides the opportunity for them to voluntarily decide to be resettled in Cambodia.
How many people can you send and when?
Well, there are no caps on this, and this will just be an ongoing arrangement. And first of all, we need to build the capability. And we're not rushing into this. We never have. This has never been that type of an arrangement. It is about ensuring we get it right, that we get the right measures in place, the right systems in place. We need to train people up in Cambodia. It's about building their capability, not just to take those from Nauru, but to more broadly play a role on regional resettlement.
So would you send people from Papua New Guinea as well?
There is no plans for that at present. But obviously, as the relationship grows and the capability builds, then there's the opportunity to raise further matters.
How soon will it begin?
It should begin later in the year, but we still have some more work to do on the implementation arrangements. Signing the MOU is a critical step in this process, but now we'll have the opportunity to work directly with settlement service providers, potentially engage with the IOM and others to actually get the program up and running. So we're still looking out towards the end of the year and perhaps early next year.
What have you given to Cambodia to get them on board with this?
Well, the most important thing we're giving them is our expertise. Cambodia wants to be a country that can resettle refugees properly, and they're seeking our advice and expertise on how we can do that. But in addition to that, and it's not driven by this, I should stress, the Australian government will be providing over 4 years, $40 million to support various overseas development aid projects. That's on top of the $79 million or thereabouts we currently provide in aid to Cambodia. Now, this is on rice milling projects, on landmine clearance projects and things of that nature, so and electoral reform issues. So these are good projects. They're projects that are very worthy.
Cambodia is one of the most corrupt countries in Asia. How can you be sure that this money will go to the projects that you identify?
For the same way that we are today and how we constantly get providing development aid assistance to Cambodia now. I mean, the same measures, the same things that we do to ensure the integrity of that aid, which has been done over many years by many governments, are the same checks and balances that will be in place for this.
Who will pay to support the refugees?
The costs of the resettlement package for each will be met by the Australian government, and those costs will be better known once we go through the next phase, which is working with settlement service providers, but also beyond that when we get, I think, a better understanding of what the take-up might be, because remember, this is a voluntary arrangement. No one's forcing anyone to go anywhere, and if people choose to do that, then we'll be able to better plan for those costs going forward.
Have you identified people who might be willing to go at this stage?
Well, at this stage, we're just signing an MOU. We will now work through the implementation arrangements and get that happening, and we'll be doing that at the same time as engaging with people on Nauru.
So all up in what you're offering Cambodia and the costs of this program, how much will it be?
Well, at this stage, we have clear costs on the ODA payments, and that's $40 million over 4 years. At this stage, I think the broader costs, which will be taken up within the broader resettlement costs we're meeting on Nauru and PNG and other places. So those costs are yet to be fully determined.
Does it bother you at all that you're sending these refugees, people identified as refugees, to one of the poorest and most corrupt countries in Asia?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that absolute assessment, because in the 7 years to 2011, the percentage of people in poverty in Cambodia has fallen from over 50% to around 20%. I mean, this is a country that is trying to get on its feet. This is a country that is making great progress. Its population has doubled from its very dark times many years ago. So, I mean, is the rest of the world going to constantly keep them in the cellar, not give them a go at trying to do something positive like this, which we're going to do with our expertise? We say we should. We should give them a go.
Cambodians can't find jobs there, so how do you imagine refugees who don't speak Khmer will go?
Well, language training is part of the resettlement package that we'll be undertaking, and I think that's important. But as many have said to me about those who have come on boats that are quite innovative and entrepreneurial, and I think there would be opportunities for people with those sorts of skills and enthusiasms.
Do you believe that you'll be able to clear both Manus Island and Nauru in time?
Over time. Well, eventually, yes, because just as it occurred under the Howard government, I mean, we have only had one boat, as you know, turn up this year. Those 157 people went to Nauru. It's been over 50 days since that venture. And so long as the boats keep not coming, and that is certainly what we're doing through the measures we announced in the Parliament, then yes, we can achieve that outcome, but it'll take time.
Can I take you to the legislation that you tabled yesterday? You are removing all reference to the Refugee Convention of 1951 from the Migration Act. Are you attempting to get round your international obligations?
Absolutely not. We're enshrining those obligations in our Act. We are specifically putting in the words of what it means to be a refugee, what protection means, what fear of persecution means. And we are basically taking what is in the Refugee Convention and putting it in our own law.
And putting it in so the courts can't interpret.
So the Australian law determines what our obligations are, and not someone sitting out of Australia commenting and interpreting international conventions. This is about quarantining and ensuring the sovereignty of Australia determining its obligations.
You've lost a couple of cases in the High Court. Is this an attempt to deal the High Court out of this process?
This is about is Australian law defining our obligations. And that's what it does. It doesn't diminish them. It enshrines them in our law and puts us in charge of what our obligations are, not those who would seek to arbitrarily add to it.
And are you turning the children of refugees into stateless people?
No, they will be considered together with their parents as a family unit, and we will honour all of our obligations under the Statelessness Conventions and other relevant treaties.
Scott Morrison, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Immigration Minister Scott Morrison.